Hi, I'm Larry Gifford. I have Parkinson's disease. This is when life gives you Parkinson's. For the month of April, Parkinson's Awareness Month, we're releasing one episode each week. As co-founder of PD Avengers, I often get the question, what can I do to help? And frankly, my response is often, what can you do to help? The PD Avengers is about leveraging your talent, skills, abilities, and passion with an unprecedented urgency to end Parkinson's. The truth is there is a lot that each of us can do. PD Avengers is a global advocacy group that depends on local PD Avengers to identify wellness, advocacy, and research needs in their local areas. There's no way we could know what each community and country or continent needs. That's where you come in. As an example, I want to introduce you to Kabugo Hannington. He goes by Hannington. PD Avenger in Uganda, making a difference. Hannington is the driving force of a group called Parkinson Sibuko. Parkinson's S-I, next word, B-U-K-O. We caught up recently and spent about 45 minutes on Zoom. Now I want you to prepare yourself to be blown away by his story, his poise, generosity, patience, and determination. Hello, Hannington.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty well, thank you. You know, your morning is my evening. And my evening, I was free. I'm done with work. Like now it is 6:30 p.m. So it's always good time for me to talk. Yeah.
And where are you exactly right now?
I'm in Uganda, a place called Mukono, in East African part of the world. It's East Africa.
For people who've never been there, what's it like there?
The life is so good. People are very good. The climate is so good. Very, very good.
What is the climate like?
Sometimes it's hot, but not so hot. Not so hot. It's not so hot.
Okay. Do you know an average temperature?
At most we'll have 25.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, 25, yeah. That is the highest where I stay in the central part of Uganda. So it's not so hot, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, the weather is always so good.
So let's dive into this. Tell me about your mom.
First of all, my name is Hannington Kabugo, and I'm the country director of Parkinson's Sibuko, Uganda. Parkinson's Sibuko, Uganda means Parkinson's is not witchcraft or a curse. That is why we got the name. So the Sibuko is the Luganda word. Luganda is a commonly used language in Uganda, but it's not the national language. The official language is English. Yeah, but the commonly used language is Luganda. So Sibuko is a Luganda word that means not witchcraft or a caste.
And why did you choose that name?
I chose that name because people in Uganda think Parkinson's is witchcraft or Parkinson's is a caste. Like a person who has Parkinson's is bewitched or someone who has Parkinson's has been cursed. So it's the reason we chose that name. That Parkinson's Sibuko.
Have you experienced that?
Yes, I have. And this is my story of my mom. Sometimes I break down when I talk about it, but kindly accept my apology for whenever I break down when I talk about my mom's story, because it's always so emotional. My mom died with Parkinson's 13 and a half years ago. And I was 21 years. And I always tell people, they had their silly talk with my dad in their bedroom. And then he comes out and says, "Do you know what? We are going to leave this house and leave your mom in the house." So my dad said we were leaving, me and my two sisters and him, and actually our helper, our maid who was helping us at home. So my mom was to stay in the house alone. So I was like, I told my dad, why are we leaving? Like, this is our own house. Why do we leave our own house to go and rent? And then why are we leaving our sick mom in the house alone? And my mom answered, not my dad this time, said, it's because I have Parkinson's. It's better you people leave this house so that I don't spread the Parkinson's to you. So it's for the good of you people. Because I love you so much, it's better you leave so that you're safe. And we painfully left the house for our mom. And we went away. We started renting somewhere like between 5 and 7 kilometers away from where she was. And we were cautioned never, ever to go back to that house because the house has a witch and the witch is our mom. So she's a witch because she has Parkinson's. So we left the house and I would sneak out of our rented apartment to come and see my mom. And every time I ran away, I came and of course, no one knew that I was running away from our rented apartment to come and see my mom. So when I came to my mom one time, when I sneaked out of my dad's rented apartment, I came, I saw my mom. She was crawling. She couldn't walk. She couldn't hold a plate. She couldn't hold a cup. Neither could she hold a spoon or a fork to eat food. And when I came, she had spent like 3 days without anything, without food or something. So there was a wall behind, like this is a wall. Like this is a wall. And you know a bottle top, a metallic bottle top, a soda bottle top. So she got a bottle top and she was scratching a wall like this. So it had created a hole. So I asked her why she was scratching that wall. She told me she scratches the wall to get the dust. And that is the dust she was eating and the water she had in the house.
Oh. So what happened next?
Oh, sorry. So I told her that there was a lady, I always called her my mom's hero. She would bring her food. But the day she was away when she was at work, like she slept at work, she couldn't get time to come and give my mom food. But so the time she was away and my mom was hungry, my mom would scratch the wall and take the water with the dust because no one would get closer to my mom. No one would get closer to my mom's house because she's a witch. And everyone ran away from her. She was abandoned by her husband, my dad. She was abandoned by her family members, her friends. Everyone around was running away from her. Apart from this lady, I always call her my mom's hero. She would bring her food. But what she would do, she would put the food on the doorway. And then there was a longer stick, which was around 3 meters. So she would push the plate. She puts a plate of food on the doorway and then uses the stick to push the plate to my mom so that she doesn't get direct contact. And then my mom would eat the food and then push back the plate. So this lady was helping with that. So that's why I call her my mom's hero, because even the time when no one could come closer to my mom's house because there's a witch inside the house, the witch who is my mom because she has Parkinson's, this lady could at least come and push the plate. Whenever I could, when I saw all this happening, up to the time my mom's death. That is how she suffered. Crawling, scratching the wall, eating dust, not holding a cup, no one getting there, not even my sisters, not even my dad, not even friends, apart from that lady who would push a plate to her. So when I looked at all this, this came in my mind after my mom's death. I went to Google search and looked at what causes someone to shake. So the shaking disease. And that is how I came to the word. I looked at pictures of people with Parkinson's. That is when I came to know. When I looked at the symptoms and signs and pictures and videos of people with Parkinson's, they were the true likeness of my mom when she had Parkinson's. So that is how I knew the word Parkinson's meant buko.
So I said, there were no physicians that could diagnose her.
No, not at all. To date, not at all.
Still today.
And we only have one neurologist in Uganda, and we have other neurosurgeons. And because Parkinson's is one of the diseases, the government and the Ministry of Health doesn't mind. And because people have their mind that Parkinson's is witchcraft, Parkinson's is a curse, so they don't mind it. They just know you should avoid Parkinson's. And when you ask how should one avoid Parkinson's, because culturally, in my culture, I'm not supposed to get closer to my father, to my mother-in-law. And my wife is not supposed to get closer to her father-in-law, my dad, because they think when you get closer to them, you're going to get Parkinson's. I think when I get closer to my mother-in-law, I'll get Parkinson's. I'll begin shaking. So everyone who has Parkinson's, they'll say, that one got closer to their father-in-law. That one got closer to their mother-in-law. That is for a man, and for a woman, got closer to their. So I would ask someone, what about the young ones who are not married? Right? Why do they shake? Why do they? So it's so this came to my mind, and I thought of doing something, and that's how we came up with this word, Parkinson's, Sibuko, Uganda. So I learned much about Parkinson's through the friend I met on Facebook, Cheryl Klinghoffer, who I shared my story with, and she really trusted me. Sometimes it's so hard to trust a person from Africa because some people have scammed, a lot of people, but I thank Cheryl that she trusted me. She believed in my story, and she advised me. She started sending me literature about Parkinson's disease, and the first awareness campaign, we have taxis as means of transport. Like 70% of Ugandans use these taxis. One taxi carries 14 passengers. And a taxi can move like 5 rounds. We have like thousands of taxis everywhere in Uganda. So I got stickers, and we started putting them on taxis, telling people Parkinson's Sibuko, Parkinson's is not witchcraft. Parkinson's is a science. And then I put a picture of an African man who has Parkinson's, like bended, and then I was showing the signs and symptoms in Luganda, the language that is spoken, commonly spoken by so many people here. So in just a week, I got like 167 calls from different people. I have my auntie, I have my brother, I have my mom, I have my grandmother, I have my this, I have. So it was now so big. Remember, it was just me. I didn't have anything. I'm a civil servant, I'm a food scientist, and my salary is like $250 a month. So I have to share this salary of mine with the organization. So I started, after all the many calls, I organized a workshop for people with Parkinson's, caregivers, and people with interest of learning about Parkinson's. So Cheryl had sent me books. I was reading a lot. I use my phone, by the way. I even not have a computer. So I would use my phone to do everything up to now, to do everything, to read everything. And you remember, I work at my civil service work, and then I have to have time to do the Parkinson's thing because I'm the only advocate in Uganda. So I started a workshop. We thought we'd have like 50. And then we had 120 people who attended. And then we couldn't chase them away because everyone would say, no, we are sorry, please allow us to come. Because my dad has Parkinson's. My mom has Parkinson's. My auntie, my grandmother, my friend. So they all came for the workshop. So the turn up was too big. We had a small hall. We had to sit even out. We had to come out and sit outside. So I had a teaching about Parkinson's. I taught people about Parkinson's, how to diagnose it, how to see someone has Parkinson's, how to help someone with Parkinson's, and letting them know that Parkinson's is a science. To dispel the myth that Parkinson's is not witchcraft. Parkinson's is not a curse. And then telling people that no one should ever, ever suffer my mom's way. No one should ever suffer my mom's way. No one should die suffering like my mom. No one should run away from someone because they have Parkinson's. Parkinson's is just a disease like any other disease. We need to care for these people. We need to help them. We need to be closer to head through them. You should not run away from them. You should hug them because I hugged my mom. She would every time she would tell me, don't touch me. And then I would say, let me touch you. Let me hug you. I'll be happy to tell the world, everyone, that I got the disease from my mom. Because you're my mom, I've got your blood. So if I have your disease, which is Parkinson's, I'll be happy to tell the world I'm shaking. I have Parkinson's because I got it from my biological mom who produced me. So it is what I told these people. And after telling them it's a science, you should go to clinics, to hospitals. Now they would take patients to their to hospitals, to clinics, and they would find doctors and nurses who don't have ideas about Parkinson's disease. So you could imagine one Muslim guy went to a hospital and met a doctor, the doctor told him, hey man, you should stop drinking. That is why you're shaking. And then this guy told this guy, I am a Muslim. I've never tasted alcohol my entire life. And then the doctor is telling this poor man, you have to go for an MRI so that they check your brain. Maybe that's, until then, that is when I'll know what makes you shake, what brings the tremors, what brings the bent knee, what. So when I, and then this guy didn't have money because Uganda is a third world country with a lot of people who can't even afford medication for Parkinson's and other medications. So now I had to switch to the medical team. I organized CMEs, continuous medical educations, to teach the doctors, the nurses about Parkinson's.
That's great.
Now I would tell people, you go to this hospital because we've had a training of doctors and nurses about Parkinson's. So they would now go to these places, and then they would find a medical team that is aware about Parkinson's disease. Remember, I'm doing all this with my little salary that I have to share with my family, with my little salary that I have to share with myself, pay my bills, and then now I have the people that I must take care of who have Parkinson's. Because if it is not me, then no one else. Not even the government, not even the doctors, not anyone. It's me. It must be me. So I wouldn't let anyone die my mom's way. So I developed this, and Cheryl was giving me her little she would sponsor me some little, and she really helped. She has really been there for me. I thank her. And we've been together in all this. She has seen us, and we've told our stories to so many people. And I'm not afraid to tell everyone about my mom's story. And recently I met a lady, Mariam, who was in her house for 10 years. In fact, her bedroom for 10 years. And no one was even opening her window to see light. So for 10 years, she had never seen light. Wow. People were running from her. Someone was just doing the same way. Someone was giving my mom food. Someone would push a plate. Mariam couldn't shower. She had never showered for 10 years, never shaved for 10 years, never seen light for 10 years. So I met someone, when someone in these trainings, someone came and said, "Hey, I see you talking about people who are shaking, these witches. We have a witch in my village." I said, "Yeah, where is that witch? I would love to see that witch." And then this guy told me, "Yeah, you need to pay my transport." I said, "I'll pay everything you want, and you take me to that witch." So I went and I went to see this witch. It's quite funny. So I went to see this witch, Mariam, who has Parkinson's. And then this lady, can you imagine, this lady stopped like 10 meters from Mariam's house and said, "That witch stays in that house." So I went to Mariam's house, who is called a witch. Her house was now in the jungle because no one goes there. So I went, and when I went, I had a friend. Of course, a friend knows about this. We carried Mariam. We brought her out of her bedroom and brought her outside of her house. And then she looked at me. She said, "You must be God, because I've never seen light for the last 10 years. I said, "That's fine. I'm now taking you to my house." Because I looked at this, because someone would say, how would you take care of someone with your little money? But because if it wasn't me, then who would risk to marry him? I told her, "I'm going to take you in my house. We'll eat together what I eat. We'll watch TV together. We'll laugh together. We will." So I got her, I brought her in my house. The first thing I told her, "I'm a man, but don't be ashamed. Because I'm going to be bathing you, I'm going to be cleaning you, I'm going to be shaving you, I'm going to do everything. So don't be ashamed." She said, "I can't be ashamed of you because you rescued me. If I'm ashamed of you, then I should just die." So I took care of her. I shaved off her hair. I cleaned everything. I bathed her. I got her new clothes, new mattresses, cut off her nails. And she's happy now. It's like six months actually with me in my house, and I'm taking good care of her. She's happy because she told me the only prayer she would every day ask God was, "Why don't I die? What am I still doing on earth?" Because like no one was there for her. So when I got her, she's happy. You can't even imagine now her family comes to see her in my house. And it's like a testimony. So when these family members come, they will go tell others that, no, this is not witchcraft. It's a science. It's a disease. The person, Mariam, who everyone was running away from, she stays in someone's house, plays with this someone's kids. They eat together. They share together everything. And this person is okay. They don't have Parkinson's. So these are testimonies we have, and we are trying to change people's lives. And we've had fun runs, and we are having a next fun run on the 9th of April. I thank Omotora. She bought us some T-shirts, and she's sponsoring. Parkinson's Africa is sponsoring 50% of the fun run, and I thank her so much. And of course, we will struggle to do the rest. But I thank Omotora, and we've had a fun run. And a fun run 2 years ago, one of my friends, I met like you on Facebook, Gavin Morgan, said, "I need to come to Uganda. I need to come to Uganda and attend the fun run." So Gavin Morgan came from Texas and came to Uganda and stayed in my house for 2 weeks. Gavin has Parkinson's and he saw whatever I'm doing and he attended the fun run. And if so many people are seeing Gavin Morgan on Facebook, every time he talks about Uganda, every time he talks about Uganda, he talks about Huntington, and he every time says Huntington is the best, he's Parkinson's advocate in the world. I always say no.
He is maybe the most extraordinary person I've ever known.
This is Gavin Morgan. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's 13 years ago. He attended the fun run 2 years ago. This story you're about to hear is from a Facebook video narrated by Gavin.
This is the van Huntington and I were driving in northern Uganda. Literally, Murchison Falls Park was on the right side of the road. We're looking at elephants, and all of a sudden Huntington slams on the brakes and pulls the van over to the side and says, "That guy has Parkinson's," as he saw a guy on the side of the road walking. So we're talking to the guy, and Huntington decides to give this guy some money, which I thought was a pretty good idea. I gave him the equivalent of 14 US dollars. He drops to his knees, tears flowing from his eyes, looking up at the sky, praying to God. Easily the person that made the most impact on me was meeting the local witch doctor. It was surreal to visit him in his home and see what he went through and see the pain and anguish on his face as he battled Parkinson's without medications and learning exercise to try to help him move and function as he still had several kids and still needed to work. I stayed with Huntington in his home the whole time we were there, learned so much about him, met his family, and learned why he does the things he does. Huntington insisted I saw all of Uganda, the good, the bad, and everything in between. We spent so much time together and realized how much we had in common, how much our passions aligned. There was certainly no one in Uganda doing what Huntington was. Maybe nobody in the world. He was the most determined person I'd ever met.
I can't imagine living without my mom knowing she's alone somewhere.
Crazy, huh? Yeah. He's lived with that for a long time, and it burns him. And it's almost as if every person he meets now with Parkinson's, he sees his mother in their eyes, and yeah, that's how he treats them. It's almost like if he can fix this person, save this person, he's saving his mother. And that's what drives him. And he's so good at what he does that I'm sure his mother's looking down from above and just so proud of him.
Gavin's belief in Huntington is unwavering.
He manages to get things done in a country where it's very difficult to get things done, like no one I've ever known. I used to tell him a lot when I was there, I'd say, you know, if you're in the United States, you'd be rich. And he'd laugh and say, I know. He has that much determination and intelligence and passion to do whatever it is he wants to do, and he won't be denied. And it just so happens his passion is Parkinson's, and he has a personal interest in it, and he has a love for people with Parkinson's. He's so good with people. He's good with people in every way, from convincing them to get things he needs to making them feel loved and supported.
When you were there, what stood out to you the most? Like when you were walking around, when you're meeting people, what's the culture like?
Yeah, you hear about Uganda, obviously, is a country of scams. And there are scams that come out of Uganda. But Uganda's 70 million or some odd people. And so that's a very small fraction of the people. And unfortunately, the whole country gets a label for the actions of a very small minority. My expectation was just that people are people. And a country like this would welcome, and they did. They really welcomed with open arms someone coming over, curious as to what they might want or how I could possibly help them. And I was a white person in a black world, and so that was, I stood out, and so I got looks, but I wasn't type of sideshow that people stopped and asked a bunch of questions. They kind of let me do my thing.
Tell me about the fun run.
Yeah, unbelievable. So that was, I think, the third day I got there. So we'd kind of prepared. I helped Panny to sort of prepare for it the first couple of days, running around, getting things organized. And he did all this on his own with no money. Well, you know, we raised a little bit of money for him, but a lot of money out of his own pocket. He has a full-time job. He took the week off to put this thing together. And about, I want to say about 70 people showed up. And that is, that's an amazing turnout considering the circumstances. It was in a, I'd say a low-income area of Uganda. Mm-hmm. And getting turnout for any event in a low-income area and anywhere in the world is tough because there's lack of transportation and other issues to get people out on a weekday. It's tough. We had handouts and T-shirts and anything that was a giveaway at that thing. I mean, one of the giveaways was soap, literally. Oh, they vied for that soap. They wanted it. So, like, everything was appreciated. Anything they could get. Anything they could use it. A shirt, they'd show up for that. Food, they'd show up for that. So getting them, you didn't have, it wasn't too hard to get them there. You had to have some giveaways, but everyone was delighted to be there and understood why we're doing it. And they were so gracious to me and had me speak and wanted to know more and, you know, why I was there and so forth. And Hannington was great. And boy, they put me to work. You know, I was sort of like a politician there. I'm shaking a lot of hands, and before I knew it, the event was coming to a close, and I didn't really get to absorb the magnitude of it because it was just kind of hustle and bustle. But looking back on it, I realized, and the pictures and the videos and stuff, people coming together for an event like that to talk about Parkinson's and to learn about Parkinson's, so new to that country, and I knew there'd be more after that. I knew that was just the first of its kind. The actual run was interesting because it wasn't much of a run. It was a lot of walking, and it was along a dirt road. Competitors at the front and people like myself at the back who were just kind of enjoying the ride. And I was the white guy, the Mazinga, they called me, the white guy who actually got lost on a straightaway 1 mile or 1 kilometer fun run. Somehow I got turned around.
I am excited to report this year's fun run had more than 200 participants.
Hannington is known as, I don't know if he told you this, he's known as Mr. Parkinson's or the Parkinson's guy or something throughout the whole village. And so along those lines, anything that may come up, he's their go-to guy. And I love to hear the stories of what he does because there's no one like him in the U.S. I mean, there probably is, but I don't know them. But what he does in a place that so badly needs a guy like Hannington, it's just beautiful. I think about him a lot, and he motivates me to be a better person every day. In fact, one of the reasons I started became a mower, mowing lawns, taking care of lawns, is to have extra money to send to Uganda because my wife told me, "Hey, you've given enough to Uganda. I don't think we can afford to do that anymore." So I said, "Okay, fine. I'll get a job." And now this month, April being Parkinson's Awareness Month, every dollar I make mowing this month, mowing lawn care, gardening, I'm sending to Uganda, and it won't be a whole lot of money, but it's a whole lot of money to them, and it'll be a whole lot of money to somebody or a few mm-hmm. people, and that means the world to me.
You are quite the advocate yourself, Gavin, and you are to be commended. Not many people would drop everything and go to Uganda for a fun run and to see what was going on, and that makes you an amazing PD Avenger, by the way.
Well, thank you. I was just being me. I wasn't trying to do anything special. I had this curiosity. And at the time, I wasn't even on Facebook. I guess I was, but I never did anything. I didn't know anything about Facebook or social media. But that going to Uganda is what prompted me. I started talking about Uganda when I came back, and I had to spread this message and sort of got me more broad into the overall Parkinson's community and the perspective. And so it was Uganda that sort of made me an advocate, as if that's what you want to call me, but that's my primary thing. I mean, it's not, I train people with Parkinson's. People with Parkinson's need help in all these ways. And I want to try to give it, but above all, it's places like Uganda, not just there, but across Africa and even other continents, where people don't have access to this medication, really, really tugs at my heart, because we all know what it's like not to have our medication. And it's hard for me to picture not, I mean, hard for me to picture living that way. It makes us feel so good to see good things being done like that. And his attitude, he's just the best guy. It's been such an honor to know him and Cheryl Klinghoffer and Omotola Thomas. I can't imagine wanting to be involved in anything else in the Parkinson's world or not, more so than with that team and that the program, because it's on the ground floor and every dollar means so much, you know.
Medication is expensive, yes. It could, it could not be very expensive because you need like $50. You need like $50 for 100 tablets. And then these 100 tablets are enough for 1 month for one patient. I got a fund from World Parkinson's Program. They sponsored 10 patients. And then for a year, the year ended on the 23rd of this month. So I don't know what comes next, what's going to be next. Rusty Brown had a fundraiser and we sponsored 17 patients with medication for 1 month, which also is ending, I think, 2 days. So, you know, these are the challenges we face, that you get someone who sponsors for some time and then people go, and then, you know what it means when someone takes medication and then they don't have medication. So these are all the challenges. However, what I teach these people most, I tell them with Uganda, with poverty, with Uganda, where we cannot afford medication, most of us, at least let us look at exercise as one of the best to slow down the diagnosis of Parkinson's. And one patient was asking me, yes, exercise helps, but do we need to exercise day and night? Do we have to exercise the whole day? No. So in the middle, at least we need some medication. Yes, you do, but we don't have the medication. But we have hope. Maybe someone out there will say, I'm going to sponsor 2 patients with medication for a month. Oh, I'm going to sponsor 2 patients or 5 patients for a week or for a day. And I've got some people who would say, let me give this medication for 3 days for this patient. And I thank them all. So that is how we've been moving.
How many people do you think that you've convinced that Parkinson's is not a witchcraft?
So far we've registered around 479 people who we've taught about Parkinson's, and these are not the medical workers.
I was going to ask you about the PD Avengers. What made you sign up for it?
What made me sign for PD Avengers? One, I needed to show other countries in the world that Parkinson's is in Uganda, Parkinson's is in Africa. And because Parkinson's is in Uganda, Parkinson's is in Africa, we are one family, regardless of color, regardless of where you come from, rich or poor, we are all one Parkinson's family. So we should try to help each other. What the problem we are facing in Uganda, maybe there are not the problems that people are facing in developed countries, but together as a family, we can unite and help others. So it's the reason I joined PD Avengers, to let the world know that such things still exist in this 20th century.
And you were able to help us with our UN ambassador campaign to try to get World Parkinson's Day observed by the United Nations.
Yes, I went there, and I met the country representative, the UN country representative, Miss Rosa Malanga, and I met her there, and told her my story. She was moved, of course, and because people need to know this, that, you know, such a person who hold bigger posts, they will be in bigger offices, have everything good, and they won't know that people in those countries they represent, they are suffering with such diseases. And mostly, like, when you look at this, when people get awareness, it helps. Like, you have a disease, and then your people are running away from you. then that is the more pain you're causing to yourself. At least you should know I have Parkinson's. And then you know this Parkinson's, I can't afford medication, but at least you can't afford medication. And then people are not giving you food, people are running away from you, people are calling you witch, then that is more pain now. So at least if at least people should know that you have Parkinson's, and then you know, yes, this is my disease. At least if I can't afford medication, I'll exercise. Maybe I can be happy for 2 hours, then I can suffer for the other hours. But at least you know the type of disease you have so that you're not called a witch.
What would you say to other people who want to become advocates like you?
They should not look at money, because we've seen a number of organizations in the world that people think to start up an organization, you need to have huge amounts of money, a beautiful office, beautiful cars, and then secretaries in office, and then sit in chairs that swing. I don't have an office that swings. I have my office is just in my garage here, my room, right? I have wooden chairs. I have just a small box where I keep the literature, right? One, because it's my passion and love to do this. So people need to get passion and love to do what they are doing. Because without that, then you don't have anything to do, right? I'm doing this with or without money. I can walk 20 kilometers to meet a patient. Recently, I went 11 hours in a bus, 11 hours in a bus to talk to doctors and nurses. I went 11 hours in the bus to meet patients, to talk to them. So who does that, right? I slept in the car because I didn't have money to pay my accommodation, right? One, because I have passion and love, because it is just a memory of my mom that is in me. And I don't want to see anyone die my mom's way. Because when you do something good, the world will see it. With passion and love, you don't need to advertise what you're doing. The right. world will see it.
Yes.
The world will see it. When you're doing a good thing, everyone will see it and they will look for you. So you need to have courage, passion, and love to do whatever you're doing. To advocate for something, that is what you have to do. And another thing is, you need to help people. You need to help the people that are in need. When we talk about Parkinson's patients, I go to these Parkinson's patients. I don't send someone to look for them for me. I go personally and meet these patients because it is me who needs these people. I don't need to have a fancy office and then I send someone to go and do it. No, I have to meet these people. If it is money, when I have it in my pocket, given to me to pay someone's medication, I buy the medication and give the medication to this person because it's my passion and love. And looking at people's smiles with Parkinson's, looking at people change because they have Parkinson's, it is my smile every day. So that is one advice I give people who want to become advocates like me.
What do you see? What is success for you?
My success every day. When I sleep, I hardly sleep because whenever I sleep, I have to wake up because I dedicate my night to the Parkinson's community. So my success is looking at me, who started from zero, who didn't know even the word Parkinson's, what it meant, right? That now I can talk to people in Canada like you. I can talk to people in the US. I can talk to people in everywhere. I can talk to my, we have a big organization, Parkinson's Africa, that is uniting everyone. And I've taught doctors. I'm not a medical personnel, but I talk to doctors. I talk to nurses, and they will all sit and listen to me. And they will ask me questions about a disease, Parkinson's. And these are medical people who don't know Parkinson's. So who am I to teach the medical world, to teach these people who had 5 years in school learning about diseases to teach them about Parkinson's that either they missed or they didn't take serious. Who am I to have 600 people who believe in me, who will call you to ask, now my patient has this, my patient is doing this, what should I do? Who am I? So this is all the success I'm looking at. And looking in future, my dream is to have a one united Parkinson's family. Looking at everyone in the world having access to medication. I recently went to the Minister of Health and told her they should have CINEMED as one of the medications that is brought in that everyone can afford with a very low price, a low price that everyone can afford. And we were in very good discussion. Then in the middle of the discussion, the pandemic came in. So it was put on hold. But I never give up. With time, I know one day, one time, all my patients will be sponsored with medication. And one day, one time, that everyone in Uganda will know about Parkinson's, that it is a disease, and no one will be run away because they have the disease. No one will be called away. That is my dream, and that is my success I'm looking at.
If you would like more information on Parkinson's Sibuko Uganda or would like to donate, go to the website parkinsonsibuko.org. That's Parkinson's, S-I-B-U-K-O.org. They accept donations through PayPal. The donations go directly into an account owned by Cheryl Klingenhofer, president of Parkinson's Sibuko. Cheryl also shared some great pictures. I'll be using those in a video story that I share through social media based on the conversations that I had with Hannington. This is When Life Gives You Parkinson's, a Curious Cast podcast. Our story producer is Dila Velazquez and the sound design by Greg Schott. The presenting partner is Parkinson Canada. Diagnosed with Parkinson's? You're not alone. Not by a long shot. Parkinson.ca. Thanks also to our promotional partners, PD Avengers, a global alliance of people with Parkinson's, our partners and friends, standing together, demanding change in how the disease is seen and treated. Sign up today at pdavengers.com. The Webby-nominated Michael J. Fox Foundation Parkinson's Podcast, hosted by me, Larry Gifford, available on Apple Podcasts and at michaeljfox.org. You can vote for the Webby for a limited series that we did on COVID way back last summer with myself and Dr. Rachel Dolan. And it's in the science and education category. So please vote for us. Spotlight YOPD, the only organization in the world with the singular focus of raising awareness of young onset Parkinson's disease. You can find them at spotlightyopd.org. And the World Parkinson Congress 2022 in Barcelona, Spain, and the 2021 WPC Virtual, which is coming up in May. You can access amazing talks, including mine, on how to have a work-life balance as a YOPD with a family and a career. Go to WPC2022.org for details. Tickets are just $25. I mean, really, it's a steal. Get them while you can. Register today. And thank you for listening. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give your show a 5-star rating and feel free to comment. You can also engage with us on social media. It's at Parkinson's Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at parkinsonspod@curiouscast.ca. Keep positive, keep exercising, keep listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.